a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, we will do 5 Reasons I Hate You in about 20 minutes. Jaguars edition. Not too tough. Pretty easy to find 5. So we'll get to that at about 8:25-ish or so. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you on a Football Friday. All right, let's take a look around the NFL. Stack the card for you here. We won't go through all of the games going on this weekend, just the ones that have some intrigue, either Texans-related intrigue or maybe Payne and Pendergast hatred-related intrigue. Amazingly, the Cleveland Browns don't wind up anywhere on here. I'm just not all that intrigued by the Browns facing the Raiders this weekend. It's make the card.
It's not intriguing other than just whatever your pettiness over Deshaun Watson and wanting to watch him just continue to play like Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. So the undercard, we do this like a wrestling or a boxing card here. The undercard, couple of games that are some nice morsels or appetizers. I am very interested in Pittsburgh at Indianapolis. Indianapolis, a slight underdog at home. Pittsburgh, a somewhat unlikely 3-0. I think if you'd ask people, I think people expected Pittsburgh to be competitive this season because they're always competitive.
Because Mike Tomlin is their head football coach.
Yeah, they're going to win 9 games. They'll find a way to do it, whether it's with Ben Roethlisberger with no right arm left or Duck Hodges or whoever else. He'll find a way to win 9 games. 3-0, though, and the defense looks amazing right now.
Right. I think Pittsburgh and Seattle are the two teams where you're looking at right now where, okay, boy, they can do some impressive things defensively, but how's this going to play out over the course of a full season? This matchup of the Steelers versus the Colts, I feel like their current recipe for winning, which is just to be lights out on defense, they're probably set up pretty well to do that against the Colts.
Yes.
Anthony Richardson there could be some good low light reels from this one.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I look so forward to just watching the box score on this one in real time just to see if Anthony Richardson gets above 50% completion percentage.
You love tracking that, and I'm here for it. The 50%,
they got dicey last week.
I love that you track it during the game is what's fun to me.
Like
Seth will look down at his phone or his laptop and be like, oh, Anthony Richardson, he's hovering right around, he's at 46% right now. You love tracking
last
that.
Week I was excited for the Colts to win the game because it meant the Colts got the ball on the last possession, and Richardson was right at 50%, but they were in clock eating time, you know. So I'm like, oh, just don't pass it, no screens or anything, please. And they can't trust Anthony Richardson to throw screens
right
when they're trying to run clock. That's a pick six waiting to happen. So he was right at 50%. I'm
so
like,
funny.
Okay, don't do anything stupid to where you guys have to pass the ball, please. Yes.
So is Anthony Richardson under 50%? Completion percentage, something you just continue, if you do over under, is you just keep hammering the under until he proves otherwise.
It's 50 or under. He's twice thrown for exactly 50%.
Right.
He needs to break. He's like Roger Bannister running a 4-minute-1-second mile over and over again. It doesn't matter when can you break that 4-minute mile.
So
that's where Anthony Richardson is right now.
So you still go.
I know everybody's always comparing him to Roger Bannister, but I'm going to do it again.
Or Henry David Thoreau, one or the other. And if you don't know what we're talking about, Odyssey Rewind feature. So you say under 50.1% for Anthony Richardson this week.
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
If not, then definitely. I mean, can we count? If we count completions to the Steelers, then
no,
he might get above 50%.
He might, you know,
if
you're
he's
right.
Like 49%, but he also completed 3 balls to the Steelers. Then that is still 49%.
I love the Steelers in this game because they're going to try to pound it on the ground too, which is a bad matchup the other way for the Colts.
Yeah,
you know what
I
mean. Like it's a bad matchup on both sides for the Colts, I think.
Yeah, and I would take the under. What's the points on this? Like 37?
Yeah, probably high 30s, I would guess. So Colts are a 1.5-point underdog at home. I would take the Steelers. I think they win by at least a touchdown. The other one on the undercard, kind of frisky. I mean, it doesn't look like it on the odds board. I mean, the Jets are more than a touchdown favorite at home against the Denver Broncos. But anytime you get Sean Payton and Nathaniel Hackett in the same building, man. Remember when Sean Payton
walking around with him, like, I got Russell Wilson here. I'll tell you what, last year, that Nathaniel Hackett,
worst coaching
job I've ever seen. He's the worst coached team he'd ever seen. He said that guy who had been coaching.
That.
And then Nathaniel Hackett, the offense, who's not a good offensive coordinator.
But a hell of a guy.
The Jets last year went out and beat Sean Payton and his Russell Wilson's. The Jets offense, and I believe that was the Zach Wilson affair that day.
Oh, yeah.
The Jets had over 400 yards of offense on them, 31 points. They beat the Broncos. But now, Sean Payton's rolling in there.
Revenge.
Bo Nix,
yeah. Baby.
That's right, baby.
Yeah.
He looked promising last week. Oh. That's right. Watch out. I think they're going to get destroyed. I think that Robert Saleh and that offense. And then, look, Aaron Rodgers loves Nathaniel Hackett, obviously. I think he's going to take that personally.
Oh.
I think you're going to get the absolute best performance out of Aaron Rodgers in this game. And I think they put one on the Broncos to an extreme degree.
I'm with you. Yeah, I think so. You think they cover the 7.5? It sounds
like
you do. An extreme.
It's in New York.
An extreme degree would seem to indicate more than a touchdown. So.
I still don't 100%. Like, I wouldn't put money on that. That's a hefty line.
Yeah.
Versus still a Jets team.
Stay away
have question
for
marks.
Me.
But the capacity for a blowout is there. I'm not 100% confident in it because I just don't know the Jets well enough yet.
All right, let's get to the mid card. This one's interesting to me. First of all, I think it's going to be a fun game to watch. Yeah. I don't think there'd be much defense in this game. Washington at Arizona. Arizona, a 3.5-point favorite. This is Cliff Kingsbury, OC for the Commanders, going against the team that fired him a couple years ago. This is a battle between two Heisman Trophy, Kyler Murray's still young, right? Two young Heisman Trophy winners, right? Kyler Murray on one side, Jaden Daniels on the other side. I just think it's going to be a fun as hell game to watch. One of those late afternoon games that's probably not getting the attention the other late afternoon games are, but you're watching it on the ticker at the bottom of the screen, or it's the one. Why do they keep going back to this game on Red Zone? Because it's 38-35 with 11 minutes to go. That's why.
Yeah.
I think it could be a real fun game to watch, and I think the Kingsbury storyline, if I had to guess, is getting a lot of attention in Arizona this week.
Oh, yeah, I would imagine.
Kingsbury coming back to Arizona.
Well, and this is the thing about Kingsbury is, like, the classic, what Cardinals fans would tell you, because they've known it so well, is that, yeah, Kingsbury's teams will jump out early in the season, and they'll do a lot of good things, but then they become, they kind of don't evolve as the year goes on. Kingsbury, he might be doing new and different things with a new and different quarterback, but teams start to figure it out. One of the things about Kingsbury's offenses is they tend to be super lazy. Like the secondary routes by receivers and what have you are just, they become very predictable. They don't run them all that hard. But it is early in the season. Jaden Daniels can hurt you with his legs. But I like the Cardinals in this game.
Yeah, I do too. The other mid-card game that I've got here is Seattle at Detroit. Seattle, another unlikely undefeated team. I don't think people would have picked Seattle to be 3-0 at this point. Not a major surprise, but a little surprising. Probably helped that they caught the Dolphins without Tua last week. They beat them 24-3. But Detroit, 2-1 on the season. They're a 3.5-point favorite hosting the undefeated Seattle Seahawks. This game.
I like the story of the Seahawks for now, but I'm not in it for the long haul with them. I think they've done some really good things, but look, they beat Bo Nix in his debut. They beat the Patriots in overtime. They beat the Tua-less Miami Dolphins last week.
Yeah.
And I think that Mike McDaniel is going to do some really good things for that defense over time, but I just don't I don't trust and believe in them at all. You know, I they've done some really nice things, but I think they're going to be, if they're a mediocre team this year, I think that'll be a good start for
Mike McDonald. Yeah, Mike McDonald.
Did I say McDaniel or McDonald the first time?
I don't remember. This line feels a little light at Detroit. So I think Seattle coming in undefeated probably factors into how focused Detroit is going to be in this game. They're the more talented football team. The environment's going to be crazy because it's a Monday night football game. It's one of the two Monday night games. So I like Detroit in that one. All right, let's get down to it here. The last two, the semi-main event, and the Texans have a little part in this because Minnesota is undefeated for a reason because they've beaten three other NFL teams, and the most recent one is the Houston Texans, who they embarrassed. last week. So now here comes Minnesota going up to Green Bay.
Yeah.
And everything I've been reading, this is the most anticipated Vikings visit to Green Bay. Granted, it's early in the season here.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the most anticipated one probably since Brett Favre was on the Vikings coming back to Lambeau Field. Like, this is
Sean, if I had told you before the season, hey, it's Sam Darnold. Malik Willis. Yeah. The Malik Willis, Sean.
Yeah.
Then, of course, you know it's a marquee matchup. And yet, somehow, yes, it is. It's good. It's a couple of the reclamation project stories of the year. This is becoming the story. This is the year of reclamation projects in the NFL at quarterback. And this might be the headline so far amongst reclamation projects.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even a reclamation with Malik Willis.
It's a clamation.
Or Sam Darnold, too. Yeah. Remember Geno Smith? He won the comeback player of the year, and everybody was kind of like, well, what? Coming back from what? He was never good.
Dude, Darnold. Yeah. Darnold is second on the board. I thought they clarified this to the rest of the NFL. I thought they clarified this to the writers in the offseason about the comeback player of the year, that you need to come back from, like, certain things.
Yeah.
You know, because Joe Flacco won it last year. Joe Flacco came back from being a backup and then sitting on the couch for 11 months.
He came back from old age.
Yeah, but
he came back from aging.
Supposedly,
which is always a popular story.
Supposedly they sent out a memo saying, like, no, here's the criteria. And I thought it was pretty clear, like, no, somebody sucking is not something you come back from.
They specifically, I think, felt like, okay, DeMar Hamlin's heart stopping and almost dying on the football field was a pretty notable thing to come back from. Whereas with Joe Flacco, it was more nondescript, like, his career was petering out.
Yeah.
You know, and what are you gonna?
Joe Flacco's coming back from ordering DoorDash and watching Netflix on the couch.
Yeah. Joe Flacco is coming back from enjoying the retirement of a very wealthy man.
Yes.
Yeah, ooh.
Well deserved.
Ooh.
Look at the grit. Look at the grit with Flacco.
It would be like if Warren Buffett started a startup
back,
this year or
come
something.
Back billionaire of the
and
year.
You're like, oh boy, comeback of the year for Warren Buffett. He went from ninth richest man in the world to eighth. Ooh.
Who do you like in this Minnesota Green Bay game? Do you have a preference?
I like Minnesota.
You do?
I like Minnesota because I remain impressed with Brian Flores' defense.
Me too.
That thing is a bouquet of Venus flytraps, as Mark Sanchez might describe it.
Someone says Sam Darnold versus Malik Willis being a big game is when we realize the NFL will always be king. Bingo. Yeah,
that's a really good point. is a very, very good point. At least in the immediate future, it's somehow I am genuinely excited about Malik Willis versus Sam Darnold.
I have this as the number two game on my board this week, and nobody's taking any issue with it.
And Sam Darnold might be one of my favorite NFL quarterbacks right now.
Then there's that.
I thought Sam Darnold played better. Like, Sam Darnold had good numbers and good performances in both the 49ers games and the Texans games. I thought he was better last week than he had been the week before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he made some really nice tight window throws in
that
Texans game.
He did, man.
That's one of the things D'Amico was talking about was defensively, it wasn't as much about guys being out of position or blowing coverages or anything like that. It was they were in position to make plays and they just flat out didn't make plays.
Make them, yeah.
Derek Stingley going for that interception. You know,
tried to undercut
Justin Jefferson ends up catching it. The play for the touchdown where three dudes were surrounding the receiver, the tight end.
Yeah.
Those are some nice throws by Sam Darnold.
Really? Yeah, especially that one you're talking about to the tight end at the goal line. That was some tight window stuff, man.
Yeah.
The main event of the weekend, Buffalo at Baltimore. That is the Sunday night football game. Ravens are a 2.5-point favorite. 1-2 Ravens. The Bills, obviously, not just undefeated, but undefeated and have looked really, really good in doing so. In terms of what I'm hoping for, I hope Buffalo wins this game because I would love for them to come to NRG Stadium undefeated in Week 5. I think that adds some juice to the game if the Bills, Texans, are the first team to knock off the Bills. But the Ravens are a 2.5-point favorite. What say you, man? What do you think?
I think I like the Bills a lot in this. I think that if they can jump out to a lead, Baltimore showed last week that the old issues that plague them continue to plague them. They can't retain a lead. Just some of these annoying things about the Ravens, if you're a Ravens fan, are writ large this year because they haven't been the same football team.
Yeah.
I just the Bills are a team in full right now. The Bills might be in that horrible spot where, they might peak too soon.
Yeah.
But if they do peak too soon, then they're right in the middle of peaking too soon right now.
Yep, they're clicking, no doubt about it. All right, that's your card for the NFL weekend. Those are some of the games we really, really like. Up next, we'll do Five Reasons I Hate You, Jacksonville edition. We get to do this twice a year. Our first chance to do it this year, but first, Seth, you got the injury report.
The injury report, and this is a dicey one because the official injury report yesterday did not include Nico Collins with a hamstring injury, and yet there he is now with on the Friday injury report with a hamstring injury that he must have tweaked during practice or something. So we don't know much about him. Tank Dell with his chest/rib injury did not participate. Yes, Foley Fadakasi, Joe Mixon, and Damian Pierce all did not participate in practice yesterday. Jaguars pretty banged up themselves. Gabe Davis notably with a shoulder, but did not participate. Evan Ingram, the tight end who hasn't played this year, and the linebacker Alukon with a foot. That's your Mokarum injury report.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste, because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, let's do it. Let's get the appropriate amount of vitriol, hatred, despisement. So there is such a word. Let's get it conjured up for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We do it every Friday at this time for the opponent the Texans play on Sunday. And this week it's the Jacksonville Jaguars. They play them twice a year. So there's already some good old-fashioned AFC South hatred between the two. But let's find a few more reasons to hate them. Five Reasons I Hate You, Jacksonville Jaguars edition. Here we go. Number five, we count them down. Trevor Lawrence and his flowing locks. This will never. This may show up on the list every year for as long as they're overpaying his ass $55 million a year. Hey, need another reason to hate Trevor Lawrence? He gets paid $55 million a year to suck at his job.
Yeah. You said, like, he just got paid and rewarded the people who paid him by being one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. And, The thing, though, that you have to be cognizant of and remember is that the last time he really looked like a good NFL quarterback of a winning team was versus the Texans in NRG Stadium, where he had over 364 yards passing in a, what was that, a 24-21 victory?
24-21.
Yeah.
November the 26th, so it was the Sunday of Thanksgiving weekend, and that was the game where interim kicker, Matt Amendola, plunked a 58-yarder off the crossbar that would have tied the game.
Oh,
remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
Texans came in on a three-game winning streak in that game.
So he's 0-8 since then. He's got a 59% completion percentage.
Yep.
11-8 touchdown to interception ratio. 6.47 yards per attempt. It's been an abysmal affair. And yet, he also is one of the highest-paid quarterbacks in the league right this moment.
Yep. So I think that's a great reason to hate that and his weird face and his flowing locks. Yes.
I'll say another thing, too, is, okay, this guy was the consensus number one overall generational pick because, wow, just look at how good he was in college. It's a good reminder that C.J. Stroud played in a much more advanced offense in college and had to do a lot of things that Trevor Lawrence was never asked to do. And that's one of the big question marks you have these days. Okay, when you're in a super simple offense in college, how do you project that onto the next level? And I think so far, Trevor Lawrence really hasn't shown any ability to move on to his second or third read.
Right.
God forbid his fourth read with any sense of regularity or anything.
Can you imagine how much money he's going to make when he accomplishes that? He's going to make $80 million a year when he accomplishes that.
If he can figure that out over the next 3 years as he amasses over $150 million in wealth, then, they'll be on their way to riches, Sean.
Incredible. All right, that's number five, Trevor Lawrence. We hate him. Number four, Trevor Lawrence's backup quarterback. Not sure how many Texan fans are aware of this, but amidst the slew of QBs from the 2021 draft that no longer are with their teams, Trevor Lawrence is the only first-round pick from that draft that's still with the original team that drafted him. The other four quarterbacks are all somewhere else. For the one that was drafted by the Patriots in the first round that year, his somewhere else is Jacksonville, which is his hometown. And I'm talking about Mac Jones, easiest quarterback in the league possibly to hate, because as we know, in addition to being a very mediocre NFL quarterback, he is a legendary youth tennis league hissy fit tennis boy is what he is. Yeah,
he's a Menendez brother.
With a
is
racket.
What he is, Sean. Yeah. He's a little rich kid Menendez brother.
Yeah.
Went to some fancy prep school in Jacksonville. They exist. And, I forget he's a Jacksonville native, right?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So there's even that.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about Mac Jones, including the fact that Davis Mills, one of the high points of his rookie season was when he outdueled Mac Jones in the flu game back in 2021. Right?
He did.
Or no, that wasn't the
flu
game.
That wasn't a flu game. That was, was a game. God, what did Cully do in that game? It was towards the end. There was a clock management glitch at the end of that game that David Culley had. Yeah, I got to go back and look and see what it was. But it was, But anyways, it was in 2021, and Davis Mills had a great game against the Patriots that day. Really good.
He
lost.
Yeah, he looked really good. I think Davis Mills was the better quarterback on the field.
He was too.
Yeah, when that's who you choose to be your backup, you deserve every bad thing that's coming to you.
Yes.
By the way, the Menendez brothers documentary, I was a little skeptical after the first episode. I'm getting into it. You know, like all these good cable or Netflix series, the first episode, you think you're set in your opinion about how you feel about certain. And by about episode three, I'm like, maybe the Menendez parents did what they got what they deserved.
Amy heard us talking.
Shotgun blast the head was maybe too nice for you, fella.
Amy heard us talking about it before she texted. She's like, it's really good. It's
great.
She likes it a lot. So
she's
my TV critic. All right, that's reason number five to hate the Jags, Trevor Lawrence, his flowing locks and his bloated contract. Number four, Mac Jones and his tennis league hissy fit boy persona. Mm-hmm. Number three, Doug Peterson, solely for me because he parts his hair in the middle. Go find any picture of Doug Peterson hatless and you will see that he is a middle-aged to skewing older man who chooses to part his hair like he's a teenager at the drive-in in 1986.
Yeah.
Watch him say anything or something like that.
I'll tell you what, too. Like many middle-aged men, he's good for one spurt. He's like Nick Foles when he was the quarterback's coach in Philadelphia or the OC in Philadelphia.
No, he's a head coach.
Head coach and offensively right. He's the head coach in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
He gets that one brilliant stretch out of Nick Foles, and all of a sudden it makes him into this offensive guru.
Yes.
Trevor Lawrence in 2022.
Correct.
He gets Doug Peterson gets one good spurt out of him.
Yep.
And then Peterson's got to lay back and eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for the next year before he's ready
one
to
good
go again.
Spurt.
He's fraudulent. He's fraudulent.
He
damn it.
And his center part are good for one good spurt. I like that.
Yep.
All right, let's get to these last two. Number two, five reasons I hate you, Jacksonville edition. Tony Khan, son of owner Shad Khan, CEO of All Elite Wrestling, also part of the front office with the Jacksonville Jaguars, on the analytics side. But there was a recent YouTube that went up, 24 hours with Tony Khan.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was draft weekend with the Jags, where he was wearing that neck brace because he got pile driven on AEW television. He was selling it, the storyline. This notion that Tony Khan is some sort of undrafted free agent guru is some of the most offensive stuff to my football intelligence that I've ever heard.
One of the places where I contribute was undrafted free agency. So Saturday, I really need to be in the draft room. The hardest part is you don't know until the end of the seventh round the player you want to sign is going to be there.
What? Tony loves the draft, but what he actually really truly loves is undrafted free agents. He is like Mr. Undrafted Free Agent. That is his moment.
You know, it's that time of the day, and I
if you haven't committed anywhere, I wanted to talk to you about it because...
Calling players who didn't get drafted and finding some hidden gems. Okay. That is a huge passion of mine.
Okay, so that was Ian Rappaport in the middle of that. And I gotta tell you, Ian Rappaport's tone there made it feel like a Saturday Night Live skit.
Sean, I'd love to go back in time 4 years ago when Trent Baalke, the GM, is like, listen, look, the owner's kid really wants to be involved. What can we put him in charge of? Where can we put him? Where we can sell it to him that it's the most important possible thing and let him be an expert of that. Okay. He's our UDFAs.
Expert.
It's probably not even actual like the premier UDFAs. It's like, hey, we want you to be in charge of the 53rd guy on the roster. No. The last guy on the practice squad. That's where the real value is. That's where teams find their edge.
Do you want to hear what he sounds like on phone calls with guys right now? This is Tony Khan making phone calls to undrafted free agents.
Hey, Trey, this is Tony Khan, Chief Football Strategy Officer of the Jaguars. I'm a huge fan of yours.
Well, I think that's why this is a great spot, because there's, you know, the availability on our roster here. You know, we really can use help a wide receiver, and I think you'd be a great fit with the team.
Edge.
You know, obviously we're getting down to the nitty-gritty, and we'd already drafted that position, but we also do need it. I know there's a lot of teams calling. I would love to have you here in Jacksonville. I do a lot of work in undrafted free agency, and I've got a good track record of the players I call making the team. There has been at least one undrafted player I signed on the Jaguars roster every year for 10 years. That's a good streak, and there's nothing else like that.
Okay.
When I call about the undrafted free agents.
Ben, good enough. Stop it right there. That's because you suck for the last 10 years. We've had at least one undrafted free agent make it the last 10 years. Of course
really
you have.
A good opportunity to make this team because we're awful.
We are terrible.
Yeah. Hey, listen, if there's, what's his official title? Director of Football Strategy?
Chief Football Strategy Officer.
If there's one thing I don't want to hear.
C-level.
If there's one thing I don't want to hear in the year 2024 from my director of football strategy, it's shuffling through papers.
Dude, you got to watch this video, Seth.
We're the most analytically advanced team in the NFL.
At one point, it doesn't translate well on the radio, but the visual is incredible. He's sitting in the war room. No, there's a different scene. He's sitting in the war room. And he's like, I pull out my paper. And the size of the paper he's pulling out is it's like the size of a parachute. It's gigantic. It's a huge piece of paper.
We've got, one of a friend of mine, Dan, who's a big 49ers fan, doesn't live in Houston, but he likes taking in our show every now and then.
Yeah.
He loves the 5 Reasons I Hate You. What I didn't tell Dan is that there's nothing people hate more than when I start to kind of defend something. And our listeners hate it during the Pettycast and in this segment. When I'm like, but Sean,
you got to lean into it, man.
But I got to say this though, there's something about Tony Khan that I kind of like, man. He's quirky.
He's harmless. Harmless, but it's just
He's harmless until one of his UDFAs comes and rips your throat out, Sean.
That's true. Gets 200
a lot. The next Arian Foster sitting there somewhere on the damn Jaguars roster,
that's
laying
funny.
In wait for us.
That's funny. We met him on Radio Row. We had a good time chatting with Tony Khan.
Yeah.
Now, his wrestling company is losing money hand over fist. Nevertheless.
They are?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not good right now. It's not good.
I hope he'll be okay financially.
me too. If not, there's always room for him here at Sports Radio 610. He can be our chief football strategist officer.
one of the other things people get upset about is when we talk about the Jaguars and we don't bring up Jags Lady.
Let's do that. Reason
bonus,
number one.
They have this gem of a lady there in Jackson when we don't have her.
Mm-hmm. They say they have the best draft in the entire NFL. Are you surprised to hear that?
Certainly not. The first year we took it to the limit. And I was in Miami with my new beach house. Well, it was a couple minutes from the beach.
It's been 20 years since then. We haven't been too strong in the last few years.
Oh, we've been strong. We're just playing by the rules. You can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show.
She's so sexy. She's so sexy.
She's salacious.
Come on.
Yeah.
Let's rent her a place down on Galveston and let her get a few blocks from the beach. You can get a good deal on a place a few blocks from the beach in Galveston.
So our hatred isn't directly at her. It's that we don't have a Jags lady.
Yeah, yeah.
We need a Texans lady.
We can't find a single lady somewhere like that a few blocks from the beach in Galveston.
Yeah, or a few blocks from NRG Stadium, probably.
I didn't just have a seven-minute conversation with the one who claimed to have had a relationship with Tillman Fertitta.
Certainly not.
At a liquor store there a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I'm like, Allie, listen, this is not anything, like, I'm not revealing. She definitely did not have a relationship with Tillman
Fertitta. Right.
But it was the Galveston Texans lady that I got to go get some sound from her sometime on her takes on the Texans.
Jags lady, man. Certainly not.
Certainly not.
Oh, God.
Oh, she's so sexy. You guys go watch that video on the internet. Tell me you don't get aroused. Tell me you're not ready to go all Doug Peterson on it.
I know. I'm going to need a minute. Can we go long on this break, Ben? That would be good. All right, there you go. Five reasons I hate you. The Jags are 0-3. So
really?
The Texans may not realize this, but this weekend they are taking part, at least a small part, in protecting a Texans, I'll call it a recent Texans accomplishment. Texans were the last team to do something. Texans are protecting that this weekend against the Jags. We'll tell you what it is next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
Okay, I literally just saw this as we were coming back. Seth and I are just sitting here reading texts to each other and laughing so hard. You guys are funny, man. Some of you are really, really funny. Some of you I got a talking to coming. No. But someone said, Google the Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones face swap picture. It's worth your time. Warning, you can't unsee it, though. LOL. All right, I'll Google it during the break. Wait,
Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones face swap?
They face swapped them. They put Lawrence's face on Jones's, you know, body and hair. So Mac, I'm thinking of Mac Jones's face with that Trevor Lawrence plumy, flowy hair.
I've seen a lot of Mac Jones, Trevor Lawrence, or I've seen a lot of Trevor Lawrence face swaps with various female actresses.
Yes.
That's where, because he's got that long. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm looking at it right now.
Is it disturbing?
I don't know. Well, one of them is really attractive. I don't know how this works. But I'm kind of into the Mac Jones with the Trevor Lawrence hair.
I was going to say, there's no way
that's
you're looking
attractive. It's like a prep school girl almost.
Yeah.
Like she's wearing a tie and everything.
Dude.
And that's a girl you take home to your mom right there.
He probably does look like a girl. Yeah. There's no rest of the picture that you can slap Trevor Lawrence's face on and go, oh yeah, that's a good looking fella right there. Like Trevor Lawrence is just a weird looking dude, man. Just a strange looking cat.
I don't think this is. I can't believe this is actually real because Mac Jones is like. Because it's Mac Jones's face with Trevor Lawrence's hair, but it's not. That's just some. Now I feel weird. Now I gotta go examine some things.
All right,
check
don't
my
worry
pronouns
about it.
And all that. Yeah.
Don't worry. Okay. Don't worry. It's got me feeling a certain kind of way.
I gotta go explore on the internet.
Okay, so the Jags are 0-3. They're one of three 0-3 teams. Cincinnati, Jacksonville, and Tennessee, the Titans. They're all 0-3 right now. In the Super Bowl era, there have been 255 teams that have started out the season 0-3. There are six of them that have made the playoffs. Just six. So we're talking like 2% made the playoffs. The last one, the 2018 Houston Texans, coached by William O'Brien.
That's right.
Yep, 2018 Houston Texans.
How many straight wins did they rack up in that season after 0-3? Nine straight wins.
It was funny. When I saw this number, Adam Schefter posted this. The stat I just recited, Schefter posted that earlier this week. And I said, oh, yeah, I remember 2018. That was cool. That was the Tyrann Mathieu year. That was the year where Deshaun's coming off his rookie year. I don't know that Deshaun's stock was ever higher with Texan fans than it was at the beginning of the 2018 season, where he had those seven games as a rookie, tore his knee, and now they're, man, JJ's healthy again. Deshaun's healthy again. They got Tyrann Mathieu. let's
times
go.
Times were simpler then.
Yeah.
Yes.
They started out 0-3.
Bright-eyed optimists at the beginning of that season.
We were, man.
Then we hated the team after three wins.
After three
and
games.
Then we grudgingly accepted that nine straight wins was pretty impressive, except they were all, it was kind of a weird nine-game win streak.
It wasn't a, super impressive nine-game win streak. I mean, it was impressive, but game to game, like there were some, it was a fun winning streak because so many of the games were close. It was a lot like the Texans last year, if I'm being honest. You know, like the Texans won a ton of close games, and at the end of every game, we're like, why do they do this to us all the time? Wait, why? But I know they're winning, but why do they do this? That nine game winning streak, if you remember, Seth, the winning streak got started up in Indianapolis because Frank Reich went for it on fourth down in a tie game in overtime near midfield because he was a new coach then in 2018, and he wanted to send the message to his team that we're not here to tie.
That's right.
We're here to win.
That's right.
I says. Yeah.
He was the anti-Lovie Smith.
He was the anti-Lovie Smith. Yeah.
He wasn't in it for any semi-wins.
No semi-wins on his ticket. No way.
Semi-win.
Man. That's right. So the Texans get the ball back, and they kick a field goal, and they're off the schneid. They're 1-3. The next game was the DeAndre Hopkins double spinneroonie in overtime to set up a winning field goal against the Cowboys.
Now, that was a good win.
That was fun.
That was fun.
Yeah. That was fun. The next week was the third win, and that was the J. Joe pick six off Nathan Peterman. Remember when they yanked rookie Josh Allen from the game that day? The Buffalo Bills?
Yeah.
Because he sucked. And we're like, oh, this guy won't be a threat. And then 6 years later, he's the best quarterback in football.
Texans saw the absolute worst of Josh Allen, including in the playoffs in his first year before he figured everything out, and it just flipped into
Don't worry. They'll get this version in 9 days. So fourth win, that was the Deshaun Watson taking the bus to Jacksonville. Remember that? His rib cage was so contorted and crushed to smithereens, he had to take a bus.
And by bus, we mean luxury RV, but yes, a bus. He took a bus.
I prefer to think of it as a school bus where the seats are just, you're sitting upright at a 90-degree.
I thought it was a Greyhound. I thought he was making every step along the way, every stop along the way. But he had a collapsed lung that he was playing through.
Dude, the fifth win in that streak was Brock Osweiler's homecoming on Thursday Night Football against the Dolphins. They destroyed Brock. I think that was the first crack they got at Brock since Brock had left a couple years ago. Then they beat Denver in a game where Denver's kicker missed a 51-yard field goal at the gun.
Oh, yeah, and that was at Denver, right?
That was at Denver, yeah. That was a Case Keenum start.
Yeah, because that was that game where, what's that?
That was Case Keenum started for Denver in that game.
Yeah, okay. They were on a parade of former Texans quarterbacks.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. The next week was Washington, where Alex Smith almost lost a limb thanks to Kareem Jackson and J.J. Watt.
Well, and J.J. Watt, who J.J. claimed recently that he didn't even know that he was the one who had injured Alex Smith. But not just at the time, but for a long time afterwards. I think it goes to speak to, I guess, people could have easily claimed that J.J., they could have made J.J. into a villain there. But I think it speaks to, one, J.J.'s good PR around the league, but also the fact that the NFL at large genuinely doesn't care about Alex Smith as they should.
Right.
I think it was nobody in Washington was like, oh, no, not Alex.
I like Smith on the broadcast. I like him in his role that he's in now. I think he's been pretty good.
He's not. A lot of former quarterbacks are afraid to really put it out there with strong opinions. Alex Smith is not afraid to put a strong opinion out there.
He's like, dude, I almost died from losing a leg. I'm going to get my opinions out there. You never know. Our tomorrows are not promised, all right?
Yeah. You think I'm scared of you? J.J. Watt turned my tib fib into
a hot dog.
Meal, okay?
Into a sausage.
My shin still looks like a topographical map.
Yeah, man. Eighth win, that was the Monday night game against Tennessee, the first game after Bob McNair passed away. And then the ninth game in that streak was rookie Baker Mayfield coming here, getting an education from a Romeo Crennel defense. So that nine-game winning streak was fun. Why do I bring this up? Because we must protect this. This is a major accomplishment. One of the only major accomplishments of the Bill O'Brien era, ultimately, is they were the last 0-3 team to make the playoffs. The Texans must protect this and do their small part by destroying the Jaguars this week.
It's one of the several tattoo phrases that I'm thinking about getting when I get my first tattoo. I want it to be something meaningful, but like something that I can remember and look at.
Yeah.
As words to live by.
Yeah.
Protect Bill O'Brien's legacy.
Indeed.
That's it's like my own personal commandment.
More magic words. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
If there's one thing I could do to rally the troops this weekend, if D'Amico lets me come in and give them a pep talk, I'll look at Laramie himself and say, Laramie, yes, you do have the single season high for false starts going back over a decade,
right,
with the 12 false starts that you had while playing for Bill O'Brien.
Yep.
Do not dishonor his legacy by giving the Jaguars a chance at making the playoffs after an 0-3 start.
Good
yes.
call. All right, into the 9 o'clock hour we go. One of the things that Bobby Slowik and the offense got highly criticized for this week, hell, probably made Jonathan Grenard the NFC Defensive Player of the Week, for all we know, Bobby had to address it yesterday. He was asked about it. Something offensive that they did scheme-wise. You'll hear what he had to say coming up next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.